Morning and welcome to NCF this morning. My name is Fiona and I'll be leading the service today, and Nick will be speaking to us later. On behalf of John, who had a previous engagement and sadly can't be with us, I just want to let you all know that our beloved sister Margaret died this week. Leslie and Debbie, two of her daughters, were with her, along with Paul. Margaret was a tireless worker and supporter for the family here, and we will miss her so much. She attended everything and had a heart for people that meant she remembered other people's woes and troubles and always asked after them. She would remember birthdays and happy things too. She was an example of knowing the Bible and what it had to say. And one of her favourite quotes was, "He will never leave or forsake me." We believe she is now with God, and our loss is heaven's gain. If anyone would like to pray now, giving thanks for Margaret, praying for the family, it's just an open time to pray and remember her.
How many people at the moment on their mobile phones have access to Google? Can you just... one? Excellent. Right. Because I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I want you to Google and get the answer so that if I tell you something, you know that I haven't made it up. All right? I might have made it up, but you'll see it on Google. So I'm going to be asking questions, and I'm going to say, please Google and give me the answer. And they're very simple questions, but they're questions that might slightly challenge your concept of certain things. Because, you know, we live here and we have these ideas sometimes, and we've got to change them a little bit. Right. John has asked us to talk about parables. And the nice thing was he said you can choose what you like. So I hope he hasn't done John 10 yet, because we're doing John 10 this morning. So if you'd like to either look on your mobile phone or in a Bible or somewhere at John 10, we'll look at these parables. Before we do, just a little word about the idea of parables, right? Now, the clue is in the name, parables, which is sort of English corruption. And it basically means alongside story. Pario means alongside, and the bulls bit is on about story. So it means a story alongside another story. Okay? It's not a simile. A simile is something like something. People get this confused. A parable is, it's another story alongside another story. And it's the same in the Greek. The Greek calls it aside from the way, literally in Greek. It means an aside from the way. So there are stories that have illustrations. The second thing to say about parables is, okay, how many of you have got access to the Old Testament at the moment on your phones or something? Can you find me a parable from the Old Testament? If you know one, just lift your hands up and shout it out. Ezekiel, what was the parable? Ah, but he wasn't a parable, he was acting out. That was a simile. He was doing something similar to.
Yes, but it wasn't what's been
happening. Okay. But we got, okay, so we got one, yeah. Any more? No. That's the point. The point is there are hardly any parables in the Old Testament. What does that tell you? It tells you that when Jesus came talking and teaching in parables, this was really off the wall. This was weird. This was something they were not used to. All right? So immediately, we get the idea that Jesus is doing something different. You can find sort of, the nearest thing I think is the dreams of Daniel, and maybe the interpreting the dreams of Joseph. But they were dreams, they weren't parables. There's one bit about the cedar in Lebanon, what one of the kings taunts another king with. But that, again, was a simile. It's not common in the Old Testament. So Jesus coming, talking a lot in parables, immediately sets him apart. And people are going, Wow, who is this guy? Why is he talking like this? Second point, do you know a culture that was very used to teaching in parables? In fact, most of their teaching was in parables, which was the Greek culture. I'm not going to unpack that for you now, but the Greeks taught a lot in parables. And the New Testament is written in Greek. So Jesus is not only doing something unusual, he's crossed cultures. So he comes in teaching in this different way, crossing cultures. And you get to see now why people were so suspicious of him. We sometimes miss these points because, you know, we're used to it. But from the Pharisees at the time, this guy arriving from this weird place, Galilee, it's a bit like coming from the Gorbals in Glasgow or somewhere, you know, and going down to London, you know, and speaking. He came from this out-the-way place, and he came around teaching in a way that was completely unusual. And they could hardly understand what he was saying because he taught in parables. So immediately we know that Jesus is different. So let's start with that. Now the next thing is that we know many of these parables, so we sort of know what they mean. But the disciples at the time did not. So for them it was entirely new. So I'm going to read the first part of John 10, and then we're going to unpack this parable as we go through. First of all, there's the story. Now, I don't have a picture that Jesus is sitting in the upper room eating lunch and he suddenly comes out with this story. I think they were walking along through the town and Jesus sees the sheepfold or the sheep pen and then he tells them a story. This is just a completely aside that has no relevance whatsoever. It amused me. Sheepfold, the actual Greek, is the court of the forward walkers. The actual literal Greek. Sheep in Greek means is forward walker. A bit like we have butterfly. It's nothing to do with butter or flies. We call it a butterfly. Sheep are called forward walkers. It's just amusing. There we are. So the sheepfold is the court of the forward walkers. So there they're walking around and they see a sheepfold. And Jesus comes out with this story. Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. This parable Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now let me give you an idea why they didn't understand what he was saying to them. You see, sheepfolds were pretty common. There was lots of them because this is an agrarian community. Don't get the idea of like a Welsh shepherd blowing his whistle and a dog puts him in a little sheep pen. The sheepfold would be a walled area made of bricks and or stones. And what happens is that the shepherds at night have two choices. They can either stay out all night with their sheep or they can take the sheep down to the common sheepfold. It says here there's a gatekeeper. I'm sure this wasn't free. They probably have to pay the gatekeeper, and he looks after the sheep in the sheepfold overnight. The next day, the shepherd comes down, calls his own sheep, and out come the sheep, and they go back in the hills. That's what was going on. And they were pretty common. So a bit like we have petrol stations. You know, there's petrol stations all over the place. So if I told you a parallel, and I said, here's a parable for you to work out. You go. A man goes to a petrol station, he puts petrol in his car, he pays the petrol attendant, and he drives off. You're going to go, so what? You know, what does that mean? And I might have to say to you, the car is your life, the petrol is the word of God, you need to continually be putting in the word of God into your life, and I explain it to you. This was like that to them. So when Jesus says, I'm telling you about a sheepfold, they're going, yeah, all right. There's lots of them, so what? So Jesus has to explain to them what he means. Now, this is where I need you to do a bit of Googling for me. We have this idea that sheep are stupid, right? We actually use it as an insult, sheep, Anybody quickly like to Google the question, are sheep stupid? Who can do it first? Google, are sheep stupid, and tell me what you read. The second thing is this bit about the sheep hear his voice. Do sheep recognize voices? So somebody else, just Google that. Do sheep recognize voices? So the first person that gets an answer, lift your hand up and tell me. Yeah. That's not from me. That's from Google. Anybody else got anything on sheep being stupid? Well, whichever way you Google it, I tell you, you're going to find out that sheep are not stupid. They are quite intelligent. Now, I don't know much about sheep. I have a friend who's a farmer, and now and again I end up on his farm helping him herd his sheep. And I tell you, if they can see a way they don't want to go, they're not stupid. Right. Do sheep follow voices? Do the sheep hear or understand voices? Anybody got that one? Go on, you got it. I know you got it. Sheep do follow. Right, that's the third point. Sheep do follow. They're programmed to follow. But do they recognize voices? So somebody Google, do sheep hear voices? Or do sheep... No, they're not schizophrenic. Do sheep recognize voices? Yeah? If you keep looking, you're going to find that sheep recognize about 50 voices of other sheep, their lambs, and shepherds. So let's get rid of this idea that sheep are stupid, right? And they do not follow voices. This story is very accurate, that the sheep can be taken to the pen, they will know their own, and they will stay together. And then the shepherd will call them out, and they'll come out. They're not stupid. Okay? So the disciples say to Jesus, we don't understand that. Now let's look at a few things we've got from this story. First of all, we know they're in a sheepfold. Secondly, we know that there are thieves who can break in and steal. We know they're there. We know the sheep can be stolen. And we know that sheep, that thieves exist. Now, what do sheep want out of life? All right, this is generally most animals only want three things out of life. Food, right? Number one, they want to be fed. The second thing is something they don't want. Nearly all animals don't want to be predated. They don't want to be attacked or eaten by something else. So they want food. They don't want to be predated. And the third thing is they need their own kind. All animals, those three things, are they're basically their aim in life. Find their own kind. If you're a whale, you may only find one of your own kind once every 6 months or a year, but you need to find your own kind now and again for lots of reasons, not just breeding, it's also social. So sheep want those things. So by being in the sheep fold overnight, they're protected and... during the day, they go out and get fed. If you stay in the sheepfold all day, you don't get fed. So that's what's actually happening. So they say to the disciples say to Jesus, don't understand what this is about. Well, of course sheep go in the sheepfold. We see them every day going in the sheepfold. What's the story about? So Jesus then expands the story. And you'll find this when you look at a lot of parables, the story is given and then the explanation comes afterwards. You see this two things as Jesus unpacks the parable. So, now the story explained. So Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, I am the door of or for the sheep. Here's the sheep pen. I'm the door. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now that's a little bit difficult for us to unpack because we know that thieves and robbers come, and people do follow them. but not those people who are the sheep, the Lord's sheep. Not those people who are seeking to follow Jesus. They know his voice, and they have something inside them that says, that's not the way to go. So immediately, we're put in the situation of Jesus is challenging us here. Are you listening to the shepherd's voice? He is the door. He will tell you which way to go. You're a sheep in the sheepfold. You need food. The way to the food is through the door. Anybody comes in any other way and steals you, you're not going to get the best food. You're going to get stolen and taken to the wrong place. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out and find pasture. Following Jesus, you will find pasture. You will find the right things for you. Don't follow Jesus and you won't. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. So this is serious. Get it wrong and there is death and destruction. And now this verse in John 10:10, which is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Now the word abundantly here in the Greek is a specific word. It means more than you would expect. It's not saying you're going to be a millionaire or billionaire or whatever else. It's not saying you can expect massive great riches. It's saying you will have more than you would expect. There's a sort of sensible limit. This is mirrored in the Lord's Prayer. Those of you who know, it says, give us this day our daily bread. But the phrasing in the Greek is, and a little bit more. So God will bless you abundantly from what you need. If you follow, if you hear his voice and follow him through his door. Now, this is a parable. So Jesus can change things. It's not a maths book. So Jesus now makes another jump. He now says something else. He says, I am the good shepherd. So he's not just the door. He's also the shepherd. So Jesus says this, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then you get this little message coming through about people who own the sheep and people who are hired. A hired shepherd. A hired shepherd who does not own the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches him and scatters them. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So here is the question. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter where you are in life. If you want to have that life abundantly, here is the key. Listen to the voice of Jesus and follow it. All the theology can come later. You know, we love theology. The whole theology of how you're saved, what is salvation, what is heaven, all these things. That can all come later. What Jesus says to you initially is, I'm the shepherd. Follow me. The rest will come in his time. And if your life at the moment is not abundant, if your life is struggling, if your life is not perhaps as you'd like it to be, here is the key. Listen to what Jesus is saying to you. This is the technology which is going to go mad. Listen to what Jesus is saying to you and follow him. Sounds easy, doesn't it? And it's not. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there is one flock and one shepherd. We could spend a long time on that verse. I'm not going to because we've only got a few minutes this moment. But it does say Jesus is the Savior for everybody, even those who are not of this flock. Jesus is the Savior for everybody. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So there is a price. When Jesus says, I am the shepherd, and I'm your shepherd, and I'm here to lead you into abundant life, there was a price. And the price was him laying down his life and raising it up again. I was brought up in the 1950s, and in those days, it was fairly common to be sent to church, and I went to the local Anglican church and, you know, went to Sunday school. And there was always the image of the cross. We have images of the cross. And Protestant churches tend to have images of the cross without Jesus on it. And I was sort of brought up with this idea that having Jesus on the cross, well, that's a Catholic thing. It's not necessarily a good idea. I'd like you to think a little bit about that. Maybe there is a purpose of seeing Jesus himself on the cross. We have a lot of teaching and theology that tells us why Jesus died. He died for our sins and all the. That's all true. I'm not one to say any of that. Don't take any of that away. But take this. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he was saying to you and to me, I am suffering. I have entered into your suffering. I have entered into your life. You cannot tell me that you have suffered more than me. You see, God came to earth and entered into our suffering. And what we're called to do is follow his voice. How, where, why, under what theology? That can come later. There is a verse in John, 1 John 4:10, that says, the Father sent the Son to die for us. That's a difficult translation. And the word sent is not a good word. The word sent tends to mean pushed out. The actual word in the Greek is the same word as apostleship. And the apostleship in the Greeks for that time meant that the king sent someone out as his apostle as if he was the king. And there's a close relationship between the person sent and the king. The king is never really sending the apostle out. It's the other way around. The king is saying, I go with the apostle. When the apostle speaks for me, it's as if I am there. So when the Father sent the Son, the Father is saying, I am with the Son. I am part with the Son. I haven't sent the Son to die. As the Son dies on the cross, so I am taking part in the same suffering. We have one God, not three. And if Jesus suffered on the cross, the Father was the apostle, the sending apostle. This is the price that God paid for our salvation. And he paid the price so that we can have an abundant life. Here's the challenge for you. How satisfied are you with your life? If you're not, stop thinking and start following. Stop thinking, make a choice and say, I don't understand this, but I'm going to follow Jesus. The rest can come later. He will explain more to you than you know. When you get to stand before God in heaven, you're going to be amazed at what you didn't know. Make a choice. Follow him. Jesus is both the door and the shepherd. And he's paid a price for that. Jesus dies, but he's risen again. He rises from the dead. And this is the price he paid. Where are you in this journey with God? I just leave you with one simple question. Make a choice. Listen to his voice. Make a choice. Stop trying to understand or work it out, because you won't. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's calling you out of the sheepfold. He's saying, come and follow me. I will lead you to abundant life. I will lead you to pastures that will feed you. Or you can stay there and be stolen by the thieves and by the people who will try and take you to somewhere else, show you something else, and tell you how wonderful these other things are. But they will leave you, they will lead you to the wrong place. Jesus is the door, and he is the shepherd, and he's the shepherd. We are the sheep. We are not unintelligent. We are quite clever. We have an ability to follow. Make a choice. Follow him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for sending your son, and I use that word sending in the sense of he came as your apostle, and that where Jesus is, there the Father is, and where the Father is, there Jesus is. It was Jesus who died on the cross, and the Father was there. We thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice that you gave. And we would ask that we would have the ability to hear, the ability to follow, and the ability to receive the abundant life that you have for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.